Today, the ride-sharing service Lyft announced it will pay $12 million to settle a class action suit brought by independent drivers. Lyft will also give them some benefits and reimburse expenses. Uber and Airbnb have also faced suits over employee benefits and customer safety. And Airbnb, the peer-to-peer vacation rental service, released a community compact vowing to work within all regulations after cities like San Francisco started putting restrictions on the short-term rental market. So, the so-called sharing economy is going through some bumps since eBay kicked things off 20 years ago, but it's huge, contributing $3.5 billion to the economy. What's next? Billy Howard is with Brandthropology. That's a New York-based communications consulting firm. Welcome, Billy.
Thanks so much for having me.
What about a trend that you're seeing this year? You write about increased involvement by big business.
Yes. You know, when I wrote my book, WeCommerce, the sharing economy was really limited to tech startups. And what we're seeing in the back end, or what we saw in the back end of 2015 and what we're going to see more and more of in 2016, is a shrinking line between big business and startup sharing economy business. Evidence of that, you know, three major things have already happened this year, and you know, we're not even at the end of January.
And they are?
GM invested $500 million into Lyft. Ford followed suit with a sharing economy model where they have announced a group leasing program. And the governor of the state of Arizona launched a campaign to make Arizona the sharing economy state and partner to business in that realm. So it seems that this idea of collaboration is just that, a central idea of business, not just, you know, something that's limited to startups or apps or things of that nature.
Well, this is where it gets tricky, because states have public workers, companies have unions, pension plans, retirement plans, and these sharing economy companies don't. And you're saying they're blending. Now, The Economist in August wrote a piece titled, "Is This the End of the Sharing Economy?" This was after that incident in France where French police arrested some Uber executives. Parisian cab drivers there were protesting. In June, a California Uber driver won a suit against that company, the ruling mandating she has to be classified as an employee, not an independent contractor. And, of course, people are waiting to see how that will ripple out, if that will apply to other workers. You know, here you have companies trying to blend these cultures. What's the sense of how that's going to work?
Well, I think that we've only scratched the surface of the potential of the sharing economy, and I think proof of that is in the numbers and what's going on. A PwC survey just came out that said by 2025, the sharing economy, or whatever name it morphs into — people seem to have objection to the word sharing, and we can get into that a little bit later — but it's projected to be a $325 billion industry by 2025. Regulation always trails behind innovation, and the difference of why I think we're feeling this at such an acute level this time is because of the pace at which we move in our economy today is like lightning. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at back at, you know, historical examples, that would be glacial in comparison to today.
Yeah. Well, and people like Hillary Clinton, as she campaigns, are saying, I will make companies abide by regulations. So there's that on the horizon as well, depending on who is in charge. But you mentioned the upset over it, these being called sharing economies. They're really technically not. They're more peer-to-peer, as we said. Make the difference.
Well, I think that as the economy matures, it was easy to wrap your head around the idea of sharing when you just had things that were simple, as you said, like Uber and Airbnb. But as the economy matures, you know, I called it WeCommerce in my book. Mm-hmm. I looked at this whole idea of moving from the me to the we. And within the collaborative economy, there are almost little microcosms that describe the different pockets that are taking place within that overall niche. For example, you have the access economy. You have the circular economy. You have the gig economy.
Well, let's go through them. The access economy. You have access to a bike, let's say.
Access economy is really centered on the idea of rental versus ownership. Borrowing versus ownership. The on-demand economy, you know, is all about the idea of getting something in an instant with the push of a button on a smartphone, like a TaskRabbit or Postmates.
These are apps.
These are apps.
Right. And by the way, what can you get with them?
With TaskRabbit, you can have somebody, you know, basically complete any type of task that you want, whether it's going to the post office and picking up a stamp to, you know, sitting in your apartment and waiting for a plumber to come. Postmates is a nationwide phenomenon where, you know, great example, I flew to LA for a meeting. I forgot my charger for my phone. I landed at 11 o'clock at night. I was at the Chateau Marmont. I had somebody from Postmates go and pick me up a charger and bring it to my room. So, you know, that to me is kind of cool.
Yes, it certainly is. But it's still not sharing because it's peer-to-peer. It's you asked for something, somebody did it, you paid them. The sharing economy is really almost like bartering, you know, the true sharing economy. And you say that there are purists who are really doing that.
Yes, there are people who are purists. Most of them right now are in Europe, and that often is the case that the trend starts there and it trickles our way. Berlin, they have what's called a borrowing store where you go in and you borrow items as opposed to purchasing them. A shared refrigerator concept is also going on there.
And wait, shared refrigerator? Where would it be?
It would be in the center of a community where you know, it's kind of like a manifestation of borrowing sugar from your neighbor. But if he takes out some sugar, you know, the trust right. model is that you put something else in there.
Okay. Well, let's hope it works out better than ours here at work. Moving on. So that's the real pure bartering, sharing economy. And, you know, who knows, maybe that'll take off. But it hasn't got the dollars and cents of this peer-to-peer sharing economy you're talking about. Talk about some of the trends we're seeing going forward. You say in 2016, the question is, how far will we push this threshold of trust?
Yes. There's a company called August. You know, one of the key areas that people are looking to leverage technology around, as I'm sure you know, is the smart home. And security is at the heart of that trend. They are reimagining the idea of locks, where you could give access to somebody on a moment's notice and potentially then lock them out for the future. So if you're not home and you send them to the grocery store, maybe they won't just leave the groceries on your front porch and you pick them up when you get home. Maybe they come in, they unpack them, they put them away, they cook you dinner, they set your table, they do your laundry, and they leave.
And you can change the lock system so they can't walk back in.
Correct.
Remotely.
Correct.
That is wild. Well, but staying on the theme of how far to push this threshold, there's the new sharing economy startup, Winston Club. You can book rooms, hotel rooms, and really nice hotels, Seattle, Las Vegas, Portland, San Francisco, or Los Angeles, for half the price if you're willing to share it with a stranger. One article about this is headlined, "New website lets you share a hotel room with an axe murderer." What's the thinking behind this?
You know, if you look at anything, you could find a negative. And when people are afraid of something, my sense is that they often try to come up with as many different reasons for why something isn't going to work, because the number one thing that people hate is change. And our entire economy is centered around not only accepting change, but embracing it.
Okay, you've just described me, so go on.
So could you, in theory, be with an axe murderer in a hotel? Perhaps. I mean, I don't know enough about the company. One would think that they would have some type of screening process in place. When the concept of shared workspaces came into existence about, 3 to 5 years ago, people were like, huh, who wants to go and share an office with a stranger? And now it's one of the fastest growing sectors within the economy. Right. And WeWork is not just one of the most successful companies in the sharing economy. It's one of the most successful companies, period.
Right. Another newer site lets people in college towns rent their homes out for big game weekends. It's called Rent Like a Champion.
Well, to me, that just shows the idea that what Airbnb started is just the tip of an iceberg. I think you can see that with the fact that Hyatt invested millions and millions of dollars in a competitor brand called One Fine Stay. I believe that Wyndham did the same thing with a brand called Love Home Swap. So what's going on and what we're going to continue to see in 2016 is, yes, these different permutations of how people can find unique niches to exploit. And if people like them or not like them, that's to be seen. But what the sharing economy does is give anyone, anywhere, the opportunity to take a passion, marry it with technology, and immediately share it with the rest of the world.
Tick off some of your favorites of what's on the horizon in the sharing economy.
I think that there's some that are focused on a sense of purpose. So you have, for example, Yertle, which is partnered with Patagonia to repurpose used goods. That's a very interesting trend that I think is going mm-hmm. to continue. I think you're going to see more and more as I said, big businesses getting in the game. A great example, one of my favorites, is the local distillery program that Absolut launched on the back end of 2015, which allows anyone on a local level, if they want to create their own spirits, to become a local distillery. I think that's really cool. Some of my favorite, you know, conveniences that come from the new world. I personally love Postmates for the reason that I told you. Mm-hmm. I used an app from the collaborative economy called Handy the other day because I decided that I wanted to have my staircase repainted and have a rug cut. And I pressed the button and two people showed up and took care of me. So I don't know. Maybe it's not for everyone. But again, it's a matter of choice. And that's what's so great about what's going on today, this whole idea of democratization. And you can choose to do whatever it is that you want.
That's Billy Howard, founder and chief engagement officer for Brandthropology, the New York-based communications consulting firm. Her book on the sharing economy is called WeCommerce. Billy, thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.